First, the cash bail system has gotten a lot of national attention lately. California became the first state to pass a law eliminating the system last year. That law's on hold for the moment, but lawmakers and advocates in at least seven other states are trying to do something similar, including here in Wisconsin. Our next guest spent some time reporting on the effects of our state's cash bail system and the people trying to change it. Emily Hamer is a reporter with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. Her latest piece is titled, Poor Stay in Jail While Rich Go Free, Rethinking Cash Bail in Wisconsin. Emily, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So broadly speaking, how does the cash bail system work?
So when a defendant is arrested on a crime, they're taken in, and usually they sit in jail for a little bit, and then they're taken to the judge for the judge to make a bail decision for them. And the judge can decide whether or not they want to assign a cash bail amount for that defendant or whether or not they want to just release that defendant on a signature bond. So like in Dane County, they're really trying to give signature bonds to defendants who don't need to be in jail. And what that means is they just sign a promise that they'll return back to court. And if they break that promise, then sometimes they'll have to pay money, but they don't have to post the bail amount before they're released from jail.
And that's also called being released on your own recognizance.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so where do people get money for bail in general? What are the options if they have a cash bail?
So in a lot of other states, one option is bail bondsmen, which they, if you give a bail bondsman 10% of the bond amount, they'll post it for you. But that's outlawed in Wisconsin because as soon as you post that 10% to the bail bondsman, you lose that money. So not having that avoids a lot of abuse to the system and prevents poor people from getting taken advantage of. But if they don't have the money at all, there aren't very many options. There are bail funds in Wisconsin to help people, poor people post and get out of jail, but they're pretty limited. And so when people can't post their bail amounts, if they don't have friends or family in order to post that cash for them, they just get stuck.
So numbers show that pretrial detentions are rising in the United States. Do we know why it's rising?
Mm-hmm. So, there's data from the pretrial or from the Prison Policy Initiative that shows just that jail incarceration rates have been rising since 1983, and I think that's the earliest back that they have data. And as soon as it hits 1996, you can see the unconvicted or the not convicted population, the pretrial population, sort of diverge from the people who are in jail who have been convicted. And the unconvicted population just sort of starts to rise. And so from 1996 to 2016, pretrial jail incarceration has accounted for all of the net jail growth over that time period. Mm.
So there are people who have been arrested for something but have not been convicted yet. They are mm-hmm. sitting in jail. They may have been offered cash bond, but they are not able to raise it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of people who can raise it. Those tend to be people with more means, either their own or their network of friends and family. So the people that end up sitting in jail waiting to go to trial, what kind of impact does that have on their lives? What kind of ripple effects?
Mm-hmm. So it's been shown to kind of affect all aspects of their lives. Like they can lose their jobs while they're in jail. They can lose their apartment for missing rent payments. If they lose their apartment and are evicted, if they don't have friends and family to help them through that process, landlords will sometimes just throw all of their belongings out onto the curb. And so not only have they lost their home, they've lost all of their possessions. They also can lose their custody with children can be affected while they're stuck for sometimes crimes that they didn't even commit. It really just has these ripple effects. And when those things happen to someone who is already vulnerable, it leads to them committing more crimes in the future. And so putting people behind bars before they've actually been convicted has been shown to lead to more crime later on, which is kind of the opposite of what we want to happen.
We're talking with Emily Hamer right now. She is a reporter with the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. We're talking about her recent piece looking at the cash bail system and the impact it can have on people who are waiting for trial here in Wisconsin. Now, Emily, you just talked about the issue that people who end up sitting in jail waiting for their trial actually often end up committing more crimes instead of less later. Another argument is proponents of cash bail say that it ensures that people show up for their trial date, but do the numbers bear that out?
Yeah, that's something that I thought was interesting as well, is that the numbers show, and research shows, that when someone is detained pretrial, if they're there for a short jail stay while they're not convicted yet, and they do get out before their court dates, they're actually less likely to show up for their court dates as opposed to if they hadn't been detained at all.
And so there, it seems like there are issues with the bail system, that it's not achieving what it's meant to. Are there some states that have gotten rid of cash bail?
Mm-hmm. There are some states who they have, I think a lot of them, they haven't actually gotten rid of cash bail, but they've just made it so burdensome to use. They've put all these roadblocks in place that judges are forced to consider other options, which in New Jersey and in Washington, D.C., they release most of their defendants instead of having them locked up or having them assigned a cash bail. In Washington, D.C. specifically, who has been doing this for a while now and not using cash bail, they release 94% of defendants pretrial, and most of them show up for court and do not commit new crimes when they're released.
You mentioned earlier that there's interest in Wisconsin at looking at the data, figuring out whether the system is really working or not. What kind of plans have been proposed to maybe not eliminate it, like you said, but to use cash bail much more sparingly?
So there's a study committee right now that has judges on it. It also has some prosecutors, public defenders, members of the legislature, and they're really trying to brainstorm how to fix this in Wisconsin, but it's really complicated to address. Because one problem is, if you get rid of cash bail, it has to be replaced with something, because otherwise defendants who we know are dangerous and pose a danger to the public if they're going to be released, we need some way to detain them. But right now in Wisconsin, that's called preventative detention or pretrial detention, is holding someone without cash bail. But Wisconsin doesn't really even have that option because there's a statute right now, but it's just unworkable. No one has ever used it. So the study committee is looking to try to create a preventative detention law. But then on the flip side, if you create a preventative detention law without limiting cash bail, it's just another way to lock people up. So they're trying to finesse this to get those things happening at the same time, but it's really complicated to tackle.
I find it interesting that you said that this group that's looking at this and working on this has players from all parts of the system. Mm-hmm. And it seems like if they all see that this would be good, better policy to pursue, that says quite a bit about the issue.
Yeah, I think I've been going to some of these study committee meetings, and Judge Maxine White, the chief judge from Milwaukee County, she said at one of the meetings that she was surprised by how well they're working together on this. And that's really struck me, too, is that on both sides of the aisle, people seem to agree that this wealth-based discrimination, where the rich can buy their way out of jail pretrial, but the poor get stuck, is just not something that we want to have happen. But it's just hard to come up with the laws that bring us to a system that we want.
And as we wrap up, Emily, the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism has a second part to this story mm-hmm. coming out. What are you looking at there?
So another tough challenge with this is figuring out who to detain pretrial and who not to detain, because no one can know the future, and you don't know which defendants are going to go out and commit another new crime and put the public in danger. So a lot of judges and states and counties across the nation are using risk assessment tools, which are they're these computer programs that use actuarial science in order to try to predict which defendants are riskier than others and which ones are low risk. And so, but there is controversy surrounding them, whether or not they are discriminatory, whether or not they actually work. So my story is looking at those tools.
Very interesting. We'll definitely want to talk with you about that as well.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
That was Emily Hamer, a reporter for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. She was with us to talk about a story she co-reported titled Poor Stay in Jail While Rich Go Free, Rethinking Cash Bail in Wisconsin. You can find that article online at wpr.org/centraltime.